They
Oh,
should
let me grab
be.
and let me grab my phone. I always record everything that I
Yep, no
do.
problem. Sounds good. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Just so I have it on my end, because I'm not with any staff right now.
Yep,
So,
no, I totally understand.
okay, cool. I'm ready then when you are.
Okay, cool. The first thing that we're gonna have you do, real easy, can you give me your name, how to spell it, and your title?
Yeah, Rebecca Cook, Rebecca Cooke, candidate for US Congress.
Cool, thanks. First question I got you off. This should also be pretty easy for you. Why are you the best candidate in the third district?
Yeah, I think what really sets me apart are my lived experiences. I grew up on a dairy farm here in Eau Claire, showing cows in 4-H. And like a lot of Wisconsin farmers, we had to sell our cows because of the price of milk and competition with larger dairies, which was tough. And that's a key reason why I stepped off the sidelines to step up to run, to really be a voice for rural working families and to work to save small, mid-sized farms like the one that I grew up on. I ran a small business in this district for a lot of years. A nonprofit that supports women entrepreneurs throughout 18 counties. And additionally, I waitress 3 nights a week while I run for Congress 7 days a week. And I think those types of things, like, I've had to sign the front of a paycheck. I know what it's like to balance a budget and pay employees. And I think those types of lived experiences, I think, lend themselves well to being a legislator that really understands what working people are looking for in their representative and what I can deliver on in Congress.
Yeah, so going right in on that, family farms, working people, I guess the first, I want to get a stance on a few issues. I think the first one that we want to do then is how can we better protect family farms and kind of stop this backslide where all of, these ag, farms are kind of conglomerating into one and making these CAFOs.
So, I mean, I think it starts to writing a farm bill that really works to support and serve small and mid-sized farms. You see a lot of politicians that, have special interests really in their pockets. And you certainly see that with the Agricultural Committee and where the subsidies go and who that's really benefiting. And so I think it really does start there. And so I would really love to serve on the House Ag Committee when I'm going around and talking with people in my district. I say, wouldn't it be something to have somebody with a background in agriculture that's serving on the House Ag Committee and working to write the farm bill? And people are like, yeah, instead of a lawyer that's maybe never been in a barn or just elitists that are really out of touch with this kind of way of life.
So on that farm bill, there is a 2024 farm bill that Derek Van Orden is very proud of. He talks about it in the few interviews that he gives. Do you have any thoughts on that bill? Is there anything that you would change? Do you think that it does work for small family farms?
I think there's always improvements that can be made. I think what you've seen, though, is that the bill hasn't passed. And that, I think, showcases what like hyper-partisanship is happening in the House and in the Senate, right? And that's the far-right radicalism led by people like Derek Van Orden and his party. They're not getting things done. They're working on things, but they're not getting things done, right? One of the things that I'm really interested in is right to repair. So the right to repair your own stuff. I'd love to see something like that be incorporated in the farm bill in the future.
Okay, cool. Sorry for the Slack messages. I'm sure you can hear
No,
those.
that's okay. I'm not hearing them, so it's
Okay,
okay.
good. So then my next one, how do we better tackle inflation? How do we better make this economy work for working people? Wages have increased the last 4 years. Inflation has eaten up a lot of that progress. So how do we help working people get ahead?
Taking on corporations that are really like price gouging consumers at the gas pump and the grocery store. We've seen record profits, and that means like lost wages, right? And so corporations are making record profits really off the backs of their workers. And so I think it's critically important to enforce antitrust laws. You see a lot of hyper consolidation, like even in the agricultural industry, like we were talking about. And I think that's critically important now more than ever.
Moving on to the next one, how would you address the shortage of healthcare workers in Western Wisconsin? I know that that's been a big issue there. My editor has a dad who hasn't been able to see a doctor in like 6 months for something that he needs. How do you address that shortage? How do you make healthcare better in Western Wisconsin?
Increasing healthcare access and affordability is really at the top of my platform. We've seen two large hospitals close here in the region, which makes, you know, access really frustrating. Like my dad personally is waiting, he's been waiting 2 months to try to see a provider. And so part of it is that we've lost hospital systems. It's not even healthcare providers, but we've lost like literal hospitals for people to go to. And so you've got to be building those relationships, I think, kind of all the way through, understanding where folks are at, what Medicare reimbursement rates look like for hospitals, in order to be staying open and serving critical populations. Like, for example, we have one hospital that closed that delivered 800 babies last year alone, which is a pretty staggering number. And then we have a labor and delivery unit closed in a neighboring community and another neighboring community. So if you want to start or grow a family, you know, we have some real problems here, here in the region. And so those are some of the types of things that are important to me. So.
Next one, how do we address the problem with PFAS, especially it hits the La Crosse area especially hard, but you have some of the Central Sands too. How do we address the PFAS issue in Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, we also have a big PFAS issue here in Eau Claire too. So it's communities large and small, and a lot of the larger or the smaller municipalities really lack a lot of the funding to be able to address it. It's not something that our smaller municipalities or cities can do alone. It's going to take federal funding and federal support. So that's, you know, that's really important to me is being able to allocate those kinds of resources to address this issue, and not just for remediation, but having research at the front end and more testing as well, just because it's something that we need to work to prevent before it's even there, right? So calling for federal funding that calls for more research, testing, and remediation.
And then finally, last issue I got for you, how would you address the issue of abortion at the federal level?
Codifying Roe v. Wade into federal law. So this was obviously an issue that came up when Roe v. Wade was overturned when I was running in 2022. And I think it mobilized a lot of people to get out to vote. This is an issue that people across the third congressional district really care about. And it's not a partisan issue. It crosses party lines, right? There's a young conservative woman that has been in an ad for our campaign talking about this issue and the really difficult choice she had to make for her and her family to travel to Minnesota to have an abortion because her son was going to be born with a life-threatening birth defect. And that was what the choice that she had to make, but wasn't able to do that within her own community and with the provider that had been working with her birth all the way along. And so her story is one of many. And I think it really starts with codifying that into federal law.
Last line of questioning here. I heard this a few times at the press conferences and stuff, but I just want to hear a little bit of an expanded answer. Why doesn't Derek Van Orden have the correct temperament to be the representative for Western Wisconsin?
I think he's really proven time and time again by his outbursts. I mean, and it's a kind of like a laundry list at this point, and it's a list that I think will continue to increase. You know, he participated in the Stop the Steal rally, which most folks here in Western Wisconsin do not approve of, right? We want to uphold our pillars of democracy, not threaten them, right? People are sick of the chaos and division in Washington and in Congress. He brought a loaded gun through TSA. Regular folks, that's not something you're able to do, right? I mean, that's not something anybody is able to do, right? He has, you know, lashed out at Senate pages, swore at them in our nation's capital, you know, young people that are spending their time devoting their service to our country. He's swearing at them in our nation's capital, heckled the president during the State of the Union address. I mean, outburst after outburst. And, you know, most folks, he's been spoofed on SNL, like he's been covered on SNL, and people are just plain embarrassed, I think, by the actions that he takes and just his inability, I think, to control his emotions when it comes to making policy and when it comes to just representing us, period, in the halls of Congress. And I think folks are just really sick of that kind of chaos and division that the people from the far right have really sown in DC and are ready for just some pragmatic, homegrown, regular folks representing them in the halls of Congress.
So last one I got for you here. When you ask Derek Van Orden about his temperament, He and I think it's, it's pretty clear that he has this history of outbursts. But when you talk to him, he says, "Don't listen to the noise. Look at my voting record." And what's interesting is I did look at his voting record, and he's very moderate. He if zero is super liberal and 100 is super conservative, his voting record, his sponsorship record is about a 55. So how do you square his outbursts and maybe some of his rhetoric, where he's called for a national abortion ban in the past, versus his voting record that looks a lot more moderate on paper?
I think there's more to be seen from him. He has called for a nationwide abortion ban. He has compared abortion to genocide. We haven't seen those votes come yet, but like I can promise you that when push comes to shove, a lot of the radical things that he's talking about consistently on social media, consistently in the press, are going to be where he's going. I think he's well handled by his team, but who he really is, I think, reflects in his in the way that he presents himself when no one's watching.
Okay, that's all I got for you. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you think is important to this story, to this race?
No, I think that's great. I think you asked a lot of great questions.
Okay, cool.
So,
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. Wrap
yeah.
this up in 15 minutes, which is good.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. Pause.
So initially this story is supposed to air on Friday. Some
Okay.
things got moved around because of the DNC. We got some extra stuff
Right.
that we didn't expect. So it might not run until next Friday now, but I will let Alex know when I know, which should be this afternoon at some point.
Okay. Sounds great. Thanks so much. It was
Cool.
nice to meet you kind of throughout
Yeah, right.
the journey the last couple of weeks. So,
Yeah, I agree. It was good to meet you too.
yeah.
I'm sure I'm going to be doing follow-ups on this too, so you'll probably hear from me in the next couple months again.
Okay. Sounds great. Thanks so much, Nathan.
Cool. Yeah, thank you.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Are we all good? Do I need to do anything else?